So thank you, Mercy, for that introduction, and thank you to all of you who are here this afternoon. As Mercy said, my name is Brian Trader, and I'm the current Director of Domestic and International Studies at Longwood Gardens. I've been in that role for almost a decade. Prior to my employment at Longwood, I was a faculty member, actually, at Mississippi State University. So I've gone the academic track. And now I'm working for a large nonprofit organization, and I have actually just accepted another new job. So I've gone through this process. So I can speak from the heart on this. But on August 1st, I'll be the new deputy executive director for a brand new garden in Delaware called Delaware Botanic Gardens. And so going from the flagship public garden of Longwood to a very small kind of startup nonprofit in Delaware. So as Mercy said, I'm going to talk to you today about negotiating for employment, juggling multiple job offers, how you go about that, and then navigating that really challenging and difficult opportunity of what benefits do I need, how do I start with salary, what benefits might be available to me. So to begin, I think Craig did a wonderful job of setting this talk up for me. And before you go out and really start looking for jobs or thinking about what kind of position you would be successful in, you have to know a lot about yourself. And you have to know a lot about what's near and dear to you. And this goes for you throughout your life and your career. Because when you're just finishing a graduate degree or if you're changing careers, you are at different parts in your life. And so for a student that's going right out of an undergraduate into the workforce, they may be single, they may not have a family, they may not have to worry about kids, but they may be really tied to staying in a certain part of the country or a part of the region, or maybe they want to live in the city versus being out in a very rural environment. So one of the things you have to do before you start thinking about employment is knowing what is dear and what you value. Is it money? Is it all about the money? Do you have student loans you have to pay off and that's the most important thing? Or is it, I need to be close to family because that's really important to me right now? Or I want to be in the city environment. I don't want to have to worry about driving. I don't want to commute. Those things may seem very simple right now, but when you take your first job and you need to be happy and you need to function as an individual in our society, those small things add up. And so every time we have a student come to me, and at Longwood I have 70 students a year that I manage and I mentor and I engage with, and I always tell them, what's important to you right now? Is it that you're close to a significant other? Is it close that you're able to travel? What are those things that you value? Another thing is to know what others value in you. What makes you special? What makes you tick? What makes you successful in the workplace? And so this is a great question. Craig touched on this, and a question came up about this after his presentation, is mentorship. So all of us have had mentors. This is a great opportunity to talk to your major professor. This is a great opportunity to talk to your peers. This is a great opportunity to ask others what they value in you. What makes you special? What makes you tick? And that allows you to know where there's opportunities for you to grow and for you to improve. What are your weaknesses? What are your strengths? And having that in advance of the employment search is really helpful because it prepares you in that interview process. You need to know yourself. You need to have that self-awareness before you can go work in a team and work in an environment where you're collaborating with others. Another thing is to do your research. And Craig touched on this a little bit already. You know, large companies are going to differ very much from small companies. For-profit organizations or businesses are going to vary tremendously from nonprofits. And a great example of this is what I've just gone through with my career change. At Longwood, we have a very significant endowment. Money is not really an issue. I've never had to write a grant. I've never had to worry about where funding for travel to a professional meeting like this is coming from. With a nonprofit, typically you have maybe smaller salaries than the for business world, but the benefits that you have with health and retirement and personal leave really are good. And so when I was transitioning to the smaller nonprofit, they have no money, literally no money. There's a lot of opportunity for challenge. So I think doing your research into the businesses or the organizations that you want to work for, whether they're businesses or nonprofits, and you can do this pretty discreetly by, you know, going through LinkedIn or looking at, if it's a, you know, a premier institution, you can look up what some of the salaries are, expected salaries are for positions in an organization or a business. So it's really important that you do your research. And Craig talked on this a little bit already as well, and that you need to be able to weigh the differences in those institutions. So what is the mission, what is the vision of those organizations, and how do they differ? So if you have multiple offers, you really need to compare apples with apples. Apples and oranges doesn't really do that good of a job. So you really have to try to weigh things as equally as possible. And when you're doing that research, you know, it's talking about, you know, do they have a statement on diversity and inclusion? What is the institutional culture of that organization like? What is the leadership? Is it patriarchal or is it more democratic? You know, how does that work? How are decisions made? How is the institution governed? Another thing that you want to think about is the flexibility. Craig mentioned also the ability to move up. In my role at Longwood, I was a director. So if I wanted to move up in my organization, there was only one or two other positions I could take. And when that position came available and I was not encouraged to apply for that position, that really was a statement to me that if I wanted to move up or I wanted to excel in my career, it may be necessary for me to look at other organizations or institutions. Another thing I think that's important when you're juggling multiple offers is to know how you're going to be challenged. You know, what is the strategic vision? What are the expectations of you as an employee within that organization? Who are you going to be managing? How are you going to be evaluating the team members that you are managing? How does that organization deal with conflict? What is the method of evaluation? Is there a way of appraising employees? What is your role in that? What is the expectation on you to be involved in committees or leadership opportunities to advance the organization strategically? And having an idea of what your role is going to be in advance of you accepting that position is really important. Another thing when you're being recruited, especially for some of you who are about to finish a degree or you're starting to look for jobs now, it's kind of expected that when somebody's graduating with a degree, either a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a PhD, or maybe you're finishing a postdoc, it's kind of expected that you're going to be looking for jobs. You know, they're expecting that you may be interviewing at multiple institutions. But let's say that you're already in an organization, you've been there for 5 years, you've been there for 10 years. It's kind of important, as Craig said, to be a little discreet about that search. You don't want to go directly to your boss and say, you know, just want to let you know I've started to apply for jobs here, there, and everywhere. Because not all organizations are going to take that fondly. Some will see that as a threat. And then ultimately, if you don't land a job after you've been applying, that can be really detrimental to your future in that organization and that association. Another thing in this process is leveraging that support network that you have. For all of you in the room, all the faculty that have mentored you, maybe they're committee members, maybe it's somebody that you've met here at ASHS, maybe it's somebody on the board, maybe it's Mercy, maybe it's Craig. You know, keep in touch with those mentors, even if they're not at your own school. They can be an absolute tremendous resource for you. And just bouncing, you know, position descriptions off them, bouncing resumes, cover letters off them, bouncing off offer letters for them. That is really important. When you have offer letters, and especially if you have offer letters, multiple offer letters, make sure you're not the only one looking at them. And in some cases, it's important that you have maybe legal counsel look at some of them. And so just keep that in mind. The more eyes you have on the documents that are advancing your career, the better. Another thing that you want to think of is maintaining integrity when you're juggling multiple offers. Make sure that you're honest, make sure that you're transparent, and that you don't get caught in any lies. And if you start pinning one organization or one business against the other, that's not always a good thing. An example would be, let's say you have Company A offers you $55,000 to start. It's a 12-month position. There's opportunities for retirement. Health insurance is included. But Company B offers you $65,000, but there's no benefits of the retirement or health insurance. In that scenario, if you're weighing Company A with Company B, it would be completely acceptable to share the counter offer with Company A. You know, they're offering me this amount. I have to make a decision by this date. Can you come up on this? And a lot of times when you put in, you know, nowadays a lot of companies are asking you to put in your expected salary. And that in some cases is a way that for at least Longwood, if someone put in that they need an expected salary of $70,000, if the position's only going to pay $45,000, you've already excluded yourself from the applicant pool. Okay, so some organizations do use that minimum salary requirement as a way of screening the applicants. And so when you're looking at that, it's really important that you have a good idea of how much money you need for that salary in order to sustain the lifestyle that you expect. So, you know, whether that's, you know, car payments, home insurance or home rent, the student loans, when you're figuring that up, you want to make sure that you give ample room for you to live, not just pay your bills. Another thing to think of when you're juggling multiple offers is horticulture is a small community. And when you start getting into the specializations that every one of you are in, you know, some of you might be in just post-harvest physiology, or some of you might be in plant breeding, others may be in vegetables or fruits, or public gardens like me. You really have to realize that this is a small community. And once you put that resume of yours out there or your cover letter out there, that community talks. And so even though there are requirements by, you know, organizations that mum's the word, if you have a reference on there and they see that you were at Mississippi State and your reference is this person from Mississippi State, that business or that organization may call another faculty member from Mississippi State and say, hey, you're not listed as a reference on here, but hey, I know you. So have you worked with this student before? If so, what are they like? And keep in mind, as you're in horticulture, it is a very small industry. And that's a really good thing most of the time. But just keep that in mind as you're applying for these positions. Navigating the benefits. This is one of the most important things when you are negotiating for a job and placement in your career. As I mentioned before, for-profit, very different from the nonprofit. For-profit, usually higher salaries, maybe less benefits. Nonprofit, lower salaries, a lot more benefits, and potentially more job security. Your starting salary, what does that mean? I know some of you have heard this before. Why is your starting salary so important? This is the one it's, you know.
Sets a precedent.
Yeah, your starting salary is the start. Very, very rarely will you ever go below your starting salary once you start. So that starting salary is kind of your threshold. So if you start out at $75,000 a year, you should never go below that ever, no matter when you change jobs. And so that starting salary is so important no matter where you go. Another thing is personal time. You know, personal time is dealt with differently at every organization. At Longwood, for example, we get a lump sum of personal time. That personal time includes vacation, but also sick time. And how that personal time rolls over. We can only roll over 1 year's worth of personal time. With some institutions, you can't roll over any personal time. You use it or you lose it. So having a good understanding of that personal time and then how that personal time evolves throughout the duration of your career is really important. For example, if you're at some institutions for 5 years, that personal time increases. If you're at an institution for 10 years, maybe your personal time increases. Personal time can also include holidays in some instances. So knowing that personal time breakdown is really important when you're looking at negotiating your benefits for a position. Another thing is your retirement. Is the institution contributing to your retirement? If so, what kind of retirement plans do they have? Some will do matching. So maybe I put in 6% and then Longwood will match up to 6% of my salary. So knowing your retirement and how that retirement is done is really important. And then this is where it's really important to have advice and maybe a financial advisor, somebody that's in finance, look at this offer for you. Health insurance, very important. Not all health insurance policies are created equal. Some corporations or organizations will completely cover your health insurance. Others require that you pay in some every pay period. And then some will cover everything except for dental and eye, and that might be separate. So knowing what type of insurance there is provided is really important. Craig referenced this earlier, professional development. You know, you do not want to become stagnant in your career. You always want to evolve. You always want to be relevant. You always want to have opportunities for networking. You need that professional growth. And if you're in a business or you're negotiating a job for a business and they don't value this or they see this as a threat that they may lose you if they develop you, you're in the wrong organization. Other businesses or other benefits could be cell phone. Longwood covers my cell phone, my cell phone plan. I don't even have to buy the phone. It's unlimited. If I travel internationally, it's all covered. Business vehicles in some cases. Sometimes it's simple as attire. You know, if you have a dress code, do you have to purchase that clothing or is that provided for you? In some cases, you know, how do they do bonuses or management incentives? If they do bonuses, how is that assessed and when is it delivered? And then in some cases, if you're in either academia or businesses or nonprofit, would there be any clauses that would prevent you from earning other income by teaching or by consulting? And with that, I don't have any time for questions. But I'll be around. Yeah.